Hello, and welcome back to Sass Stories and Sarcasm. We're your hosts, Mary and Brian, and this is episode 117. Brian, how are you doing? Happy November, by the way.
Yeah, happy November. I am doing great. Somewhat anxious. Who knows? I don't know what to feel right now. It's November 4th.
Yeah, we're recording this the day after Election Day.
Yeah.
And we don't know who the president is yet.
Yeah, no idea. It's completely up in the air. Some states, my week completely comprised of freaking out over daylight savings. I thought basically I look at my oven clock when I am, off my work laptop. I'm like, okay, it's getting close to 1 o'clock, time to go back to work. Except for my oven clock wasn't set back an hour, and it was like 1:59. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Did you accidentally accidentally took a 2 hour long lunch break?
I freaked out, Mary. I freaked out. I did think it took a 2 hour lunch. I'm like, I do lose track of time when I'm enjoying these lunches, but really, and, everything was right in the world when I realized that I just simply did not move back my oven clock timer.
Well, for me, everything changed. I just had to change my thermostat, microwave, and oven, blah, blah, blah. Sunday, good to go. Change my car, too. And then I go on to work on Monday, log on my laptop, and I'm working and working. I'm like, wow, it's already 11:48. Like, how is it already almost lunchtime? And then I, looked at my watch, and I was like, oh, it's 10:48. My work computer didn't automatically change for some reason. So I was like, dang, this day is going by so fast, but it wasn't.
No, slow day. It really was. And it's like pitch black outside. Like, as soon as I'm off work, it's so sad. Like, what happened to the sun?
But I mean, at least it's light out now when I wake up for work for like the next 2 weeks.
True. But yeah, most of this week comprised of anxiety leading up to the election. Mm-hmm. And then election night was super fun. We basically hung out. We watched the election unfold.
Well, there wasn't really much to watch, though, because it was just like, it's too early to call here. It's too early to call there. And that's all they could say. So there wasn't that much analysis they could really even do. Because then they finished going through every state, and then they basically started again.
Yeah. They basically, okay, we have 10% of the vote, 20% of the vote, at 30%. And, shout out to the West Coast states that had their stuff together. Because as soon as, it hit 8 o'clock, when basically the West Coast states handed in their results, right? Polls closed, pretty much. Within minutes, they had all the votes ready. And
I mean, but the thing is, we're not swing states either, so it was pretty obvious.
Yeah, we're not swing states, but we did do mail-in voting. And then the unique thing, or not unique, but the smart thing that we did was, as soon as a ballot reached the election office, right, it was counted. And it in some states, basically, they held on to all these ballots, some of them for days, and they could not open them at all, either until Election Day, and for some of them, it was until after all the, in-person votes were counted.
So if you live in one of these states and you're listening, can you please change this?
Yes. We need some actual change. Especially Philadelphia, looking at you.
You mean Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania. Not just the city, sorry. Oh, that was scary. Yes, Pennsylvania. But yeah, it was creating like weird situations on the electoral map. I remember North Carolina, for instance, what they did was they added all the results. They pre-counted all the mail-in votes, right? So that it showed up like Biden was going to be way ahead. And then as the night went on, Trump was gaining on him because, the in-person votes were majority Trump voters. And I think by the end of the night, it completely switched over to Donald Trump. Yeah.
Well, it still hasn't even been finalized as of right now. So,
yeah, it hasn't finalized. But you did see like the shift. The difference between, I guess, liberal voters, which voted by mail more than Trump voters, and Trump voters that went in person. So that was very interesting. And that's kind of what we're seeing now too. Like now that, Pennsylvania is able to count their mail-in votes, you see like leads in certain areas close.
We were watching the news last night, and then, after a while, it's like nothing's happening for, you know, a while. So, like, we'll watch an episode of The Office. And then we switch, uh-huh. we watch an episode of The Office, and we switch back, and Biden's on the screen. And Brian, like, it took his breath away, because he's like, did I miss something?
I was freaking out. I was freaking out, Mary. I was freaking out. Biden was giving some speech. It wasn't even, I don't even know why he was talking. Like, it wasn't a victory speech. It wasn't a concession speech. It was just a, everyone, just hold your breath speech.
But, like, guess. Your heart skipped a beat. You were like, you yeah, were like, did I miss something?
I'm
like,
oh, no. What happened? Did I miss the moment? It's like, my kids asked me, where was I when the winner of the 2020 election was decided?
Watching The Office.
I'm like, I was just chilling watching The Office. Oh, that was bad. But luckily, I did not miss anything important. Who knows when we'll actually know who won this election. And there'll probably be recounts and all that good stuff. So
we're going to talk about that more a little bit later. But anything else happened to you this week?
Not really. Nope. That's it. It's just a standard week. Just doing work. How about you, Mary? Anything interesting outside of the election?
Yeah. So let's see. We talked about this in September, but I'm in the Canlis Community College thing, the restaurant in Seattle that decided to do a community college and have, like, YouTube classes and stuff like that. So I've been watching some of those, but then I also signed up for a Canlis TV dinner, and so I drove over to Canlis. It's in Queen Anne, South Lake Union, and picked up a chicken enchiladas, rice and beans, and then, like, a dessert, which I haven't even eaten yet. And it was in, like, a really cool box and, you know, just a microwave meal. And it was really, really good. But that was a good highlight. That was, you know, something to switch up my my week. And so that was fun. And then, oh, the other thing I did want to mention is the Hyder Selfless Association is trying to raise money, and they're trying a new way, and it's really easy. It's also free for everyone to do. So if you text the word Hydro 2020, so HYDRO 2020 with no spaces, in all caps, to 31996, you get a text giving access to a website, and you can pick which companies you want to give your opinion on, and for each opinion that you give, then they pay Hydro Selfless Association $2, and you can do this up to 75 companies, and so you can donate $150, and this goes through the end of November, and they're trying to raise $100,000 through this.
That's pretty good, $2 per opinion, basically.
And it only takes, like, maybe a minute and a half to do, each review, so it's actually kind of nice when you just have some downtime. You're like, sure, I'll just do one right now. I just saved it as a favorite on my phone, and I go back to it as I have time. And I've gotten, like, 40 done so far, and I highly recommend you do that. So you just text HYDRO 2020 to 31996, and then there's instructions from there. And it's just a website that they give you, and it's really fun, and they have pretty much every single type of company you can think of. You can either search it, or there's a bunch of categories. So that's what I've been doing this week as well in my free time. But yeah, it's been good so far, even though it really sucks that it gets dark so early now, at like 5 p.m., 5:30, I don't know. Shopping online can be a real hassle. You have to jump from tab to tab, comparing prices and trying coupon codes to make sure you're getting the best deal. Let me introduce you to Honey, the world's most popular money-saving app and browser extension. I use Honey all the time. Whenever I'm about to check out online, I click the button and it finds me the best coupon code available and instantly applies them to my cart. Honey is totally free. In fact, the only thing it can do is save you money. Get the Honey browser extension by going to sassstorysarcasm.com/honey and start saving some money today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.
Audible has an unmatched selection of audiobooks with titles from every genre. Audible titles play on nearly any device and allows you to listen to your favorite audiobooks anytime, anywhere.
You can even switch between devices and it'll play from where you left off. SAS Stories and Sarcasm listeners can get a 30-day membership trial that includes one free audiobook of your choice.
Just go to audibletrial.com/SSS podcast to start your trial and choose your book today. Okay, so earlier in the podcast, we mentioned that we were going to talk more about the presidential election, but we're not really going to talk about this year's presidential election too much more. But this is the third time Brian and I have both been old enough to vote. And mm-hmm. the other two times, we were able to find out the president, like, the night of. And so this is, like, and before that, I wasn't really paying attention as much as to, like, how long it took to count votes and stuff like that. Right. But were you? Like, when you were in ninth grade, did you realize it took longer?
I was aware of, I think when Gore lost to Bush.
We were in kindergarten, so I don't think that you were paying attention. I remember my mom
being really depressed. And it was during election night.
But that was like, was that in 2000?
I think that was the first memory of election nights. Other than that, yeah, they pretty much all have been resolved on like the day quicker of the election.
Yeah.
In my memory, at least.
Well, because the election in 2000, they didn't figure it out until December 12th. And so that was the most recent time and the mm-hmm. only other time in our lives that has taken longer, like a lot longer to figure out who is president. So again, we're recording this on November 4th. It's about 7 p.m. So we don't actually know the results still, but maybe by the time you're listening, you will know. And so, like I said, we're not really going to talk about this year's election, but instead we're going to just dive into like the history of Election Day and also go through some elections that took some time to count. So right. at the beginning, so there's nothing in the Constitution or the federal law that says that the winner must be determined in the hours immediately after the polls closed. And obviously for most of American history, that would be impossible. I mean, clearly we can't even do it now, and we have the most technology we've ever had.
Yeah, they're hand counting back then. Now yeah. we have machines, right?
Mm-hmm. And so sometimes the presidential elections remain unresolved for days, weeks, and in one case, months. And also I wanted to mention there was, in the beginning, there was no single election day. States determined when they held their elections. And Congress passed legislation in 1845 requiring the selection of presidential electors to occur on the Tuesday after the first Monday in November. And that's when Election Day was born. And so now we're going to go through a few of the historic elections that took a while to count. So, Brian, do you want to start with the first one?
Yeah, so the first one happened in 1876. This one was historic because Americans waited 4 months before learning the outcome of the election.
Wow.
It was Republican candidate Reuther Ford Hayes. He was not certified as the election the winner by the – oh, he was by one electoral vote, even though he received fewer popular votes than the Democrat Samuel Tilden at the time. And this happened in March 2nd.
So, no, he was not. He was not certified as the winner until March 2nd.
Yes.
That's a very long way to describe what you just said.
Yeah, March 2nd. So that's a long time. That was 3 days before he was actually inaugurated. So,
dang. Because I was wondering last night, honestly, I was like,
4 months.
I was wondering last night, I was like, maybe that's why Inauguration Day isn't until January, because maybe it used to take a long time. But then I learned that sometimes it used to happen in March, because it took a lot longer.
Too much time, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and that's the historic one.
Yeah, the next one happened in 1884. Democrat Grover Cleveland faced Republican James Blaine in a campaign whose outcome depended on New York, where vote totals came in with like agonizing slowness, as is what's happening with like Nevada right now. It took more than a week. Nevada. It took more than a week, and yeah, they had to make sure that, you know, they had all the results from New York. Votes.
Yeah.
So next up.
Yep. So next up, 4 years later, Democrat Grover Cleveland once again was in a nail biter with Benjamin Harrison. And then the Los Angeles Herald published a wire story 2 days after the voting indicated that Harrison's victory, it was probable, and it was basically just a guess at that time, because, you know, these are all projections. But Harrison's election actually was elected. He just fell short of the popular vote, and that was, I guess, the first time that they called it wrong. So once again, they're just projecting, really.
And now, moving into the 20th century, in 1916, so, you know, these people had a few elections where they didn't have to count, like, just wait on results for so, so long. So in 1916, mm-hmm. more than 2 weeks passed before the election between Democratic President Woodrow Wilson against Republican Charles Evan Hughes was settled. On the Washington Post on November 8th, the headline was, "Presidential vote very close, both parties claiming victory." So, despite returns in the days that followed showing Wilson ahead, enough uncertainty remained to keep Hughes from formally conceding defeat until November 22nd.
Right. November 22nd. That's still within the month.
Getting a little better.
Yeah, it's a little better. Okay, and then we have 1948. And so conventional wisdom, backed by polling, put Republican Thomas Dooley as a likely winner. Likely winner over President Truman on November 2nd. And it seems so probable that the headline on the Washington Post story read, "Dewey deemed sure winner today." Unfortunately, they had to rewrite it because he did not defeat Truman. they had to quickly scratch all those papers out and then, you know, basically print all the correct ones. And then the Post basically changed to, "Truman takes slight early lead in both popular and electoral votes." And then the president, that was basically it. It was just a misprint because they didn't know. They figured out that he was not the winner, that it looks like the next day. But
and in addition to that, Dewey stayed up till 8:30 a.m. the next day, poring over the returns before he took a 2-hour nap. Then he woke up, counted one more time, looked at the results, and then he sent a congratulatory telegram to Truman.
Well, that's good. It's nice to see people being graceful in their defeats.
Yeah.
That's orderly transition of power is all about, what American democracy is about.
Next time this happened was in 1960. Democratic presidential candidate John F. Kennedy held a narrow lead over Republican Vice President Richard Nixon as returns came during the evening of November 8th into the early mornings of November 9th. And the battleground state of Illinois was swinging back and forth until late returns from Chicago put Illinois in Kennedy's column. Although Republicans from Eisenhower or on down wanted Nixon to challenge the returns, Nixon conceded in a telegram released November 9th. This is kind of funny now. It's like, they're like, "Oh, I conceded in a telegram," and a telegram is going to turn into like a tweet.
Yeah, that's a modern day tweet.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows? Anyways, all right, so moving on. So we have 1976, where we have Democrat Jimmy Carter and Republican President Gerald Ford closed a hard-fought campaign with an election night that dragged into next morning before Carter could claim the presidency. Carter's vote in Mississippi, no Democrat had earlier carried that state since. He was a peanut farmer from Georgia, so I guess that had some appeal. so that put him over the top at 4 a.m. in the morning, Eastern time. So once again, these are, you know, nail biters that aren't always, you know, you never know on election night. Sometimes it takes a day. Sometimes it takes 4 months. Who knows?
Now, right. This next one happened in 2000. We mentioned this earlier. Democratic Vice President Al Gore and Texas Republican George W. Bush squared off in the most bitterly contested election since 1876. Election night came down to Florida, whose electoral votes would put one of the candidates into the White House, but confusion regarding the outcome in Florida continued for over a month. So then finally, like I said earlier, on December 12th, a 5-4 U.S. Supreme Court decision ended recounts in Florida and gave the election to Bush.
Yes,
but not all elections have been like so close, obviously. I mean, the last few have been not landslides, but there was the most lopsided election happened in 1984 when President Ronald Reagan defeated Walter Mondale. He carried 49 states.
Yeah, that was when the Democratic Party really had no identity. And they really needed they were transforming as a party. But yeah, that was a big blow, and I remember learning about that.
So yeah, on that day, the CBS election night coverage started at 6:30 p.m. And then right after 8 o'clock, about 52 minutes later, then they just said that, Mondale's out.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Yeah, that was quick.
But anyways, we just thought it would be interesting because, like I said, I didn't realize that it was going to take this long since I've never actually experienced that as a voter before. The last two elections have gone a lot more quickly or been more obvious who won sooner. Yeah.
And I know we're used to, you know, like the instant gratification of knowing who wins on election night.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it's important that people take their time, count the votes, and then, you know, the integrity of the election is more important than, you know, speedy results.
Yeah, we're just so used to, like you said, instant gratification that we're not really used to all of this. I mean, also just being in Washington and on the West Coast, we're just used to
good election.
Just a smooth process. And like everyone, you know, the ballots in Washington went out on my birthday, October 15th. So, I mean, people started voting then and they started getting counted then or the next day. So, yeah. Well, thanks to the Washington Post for this article. I found that really fascinating just to see other...
the history of...
Yeah, the history of election days that did not go as quickly as the other two that I've really participated in. But hopefully by the next time we podcast, we'll figure out who's president.
Yes, that will be in about a week. And yeah, fingers crossed for that. I think we can do that.
I hope so. But hope you guys all have a good rest of your week. And have a good day. Stay safe. Brian, stay warm.
I will. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.